With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Big wheels keep on turning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Oh, lots of red cards, Man City drop points, and Mitrovic bagged a brace. Away we go. Hi, gang.
It's the week of Mitro.
Good to have you here. Pete Marcus Donaldson, Luke Moore.
Who is on fire, Marcus? Put him out.
Put him out.
Douse me. Marcus Speller in your ears with those two chaps. Jim is back this week.
Back on Thursday.
Jim Campbell, that is. Comedy's Jim Campbell.
So, ooh, baby.
We've got that to look forward to. But right now, we've got to talk about the Premier League that just happened on the weekends. And let's begin with the entertaining affair that happened on the south coast between Bournemouth and Everton. There was a lot of red cards knocking around. There has been so far this season, and this game had two of them.
And it was another example of the comeback kids.
Absolutely.
We talked about it, and they keep doing it. They keep on doing it.
They never know when they're beaten.
Well, yeah, and also they're just at their best when they play with a handicap of one or two goals. It's
tell
insane.
You what, it's reminiscent of when Leicester City won the title.
It's reminiscent of an intensity problem. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Well, they were a bit like that, Leicester, towards at the start of the season when they won the league. They were the comeback kids, weren't they, for a bit?
Shall I give you a quote and you can tell me who said it?
Mm-hmm.
I know I've made a mistake and there are some lessons to be learnt about yesterday, and I'm learning the hardest way. I apologise to my club, teammate and fans.
Ooh. Richarlison?
Correct.
I would say, if you're going to do a headbutt, do it properly.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, I want to say that's not a sending off.
It's
pathetic. Come on.
It is a sending off.
Is it though?
But it's a
just keep really, saying.
It's probably it's probably the lamest way to get yourself sent off. You know.
I just think it's so
it's just pathetic.
If he pushed someone ever so slightly with his hand, all this kind of it was in the face. So what?
Mm. Well, I mean, the rhetoric is fine. But there are laws written down about
violent
it.
Conduct.
No, well, it's not just that, actually. I think there's two, I've just got them here. There's 2, 4, 6, 8 ways you can get sent off.
Okay.
One of them is entering the video operation room.
Oh, wow.
So maybe you did that on his way.
So running into the video operation. Where is that? Well, is that in like the Andy Townsend stat truck outside?
Be. Yeah.
I want to get sent off that way. It's wonderful.
But I think we can rule that one out.
Yeah.
But no, there is one which says it's just serious foul play, which is obviously down to the referee's discretion. Mm-hmm. And I guess he's decided that was serious foul play, because I don't think it is violent conduct.
No.
Really? It wasn't nothing overly violent about it.
Is it serious foul play, though?
Referee decides it is.
It is violent, Connor. Like, they went head-to-head, fine. And then he
but he sort of pushes him away with his
pathetically sticks the knot on.
But it's like pushing someone away with your hand on the chest. It's a little push. Because that's different.
Well, you shouldn't. Well, no, again, you're running a risk of getting sent off that way, though, aren't you?
You are, but it's different intensities, though. So if someone puts their hand on someone's chest and just gently pushes them away, in fact, barely even, you could barely call it a push, because you could barely call that a headbutt, you wouldn't send them off.
Would you get sent off?
If they did a proper full shove, then you'd send them off. So we're the same with the head, I think.
What about using an offensive gesture? That's a red card offense.
What, like a wanker sign?
Well, it says here, using offensive, insulting or abusive language and or gestures. Putting the head into someone else's face, is that an offensive gesture?
Well, it's getting right up in the grill. What would happen if he leaned in and gave him a little smooch?
We're doing a fucking hour on this right now. Get everything off. Everything out to the wayside. We're doing this for an hour.
Mm. Well, okay, so you might have, with a gesture, I might concede there. Hmm. Well, I'm going to have to because it's in the raw.
Yeah. If we find that after recorded that he has in fact entered the video operation room, I shall be very
disappointed. Maybe the video operations room is your brain, because that's how pictures are formed, aren't they? The optic nerve does very little work. It just sort of tells your brain what you're actually... So he's trying to enter the video operation
room,
aka his head.
The referee's the thought police, is that what you're saying?
No, that's exactly
what you enter it? Get your eyes back. Get off! You're out! Enough.
Stop entering my video operations room.
Okay, well, Richarlison, he was sent off.
He was.
That we can all agree on. Yeah. Even though, as Pete...
But he was sent off, and then Everton...
Rallied.
Just started scoring goals.
Well, when you got Super Theo.
Yeah.
Super Theo Walcott.
That was fantastic, wasn't it?
He's having a lovely time. What I like about Theo, he's such a nice chap. So when he was hauled down... For the second sending off of the game, of course, when Smith went in the post match interview, he said, "I was surprised. I thought it was going to be a yellow card." You know, you can be a nice chap and be a Premier League footballer.
He got a red because it was dogzo, wasn't it?
Was it the gesture
denying an obvious goalscoring opportunity?
Yeah,
I was like
dogzo. That's what the referees call it, isn't it?
He had a lot to do though, didn't he? Walcott, he was quite far out from goal, and
it was at a bit of an angle.
Yeah,
but Walcott himself thought it was going to be a yellow card.
I thought it should have been a yellow card. Personally, I thought it was a bit of a
Adam Smith wouldn't want to hear that, would he? He wouldn't want to hear that.
No, exactly. But do you think Theo Walcott should get an England call up? That's the chat.
I'll tell you what I do think. I feel like that box has been tick marked, by the way. But I do think that referee Lee Probert looks a bit like a sort of poor man's matinee idol. He's got that hair.
Right, okay,
like,
yeah.
Sort of, you know, like, you can imagine, obviously, before our time, but back in the 50s when people used to go and catch a flick on a Saturday afternoon, like just some, you know, not fairly average to middling, like, film about a man who falls in love with a woman or something.
Yeah. That plot's been done today.
Lee Probert, he's got the hair and the look of that.
Yeah, I think he'd be one of those sort of matinee idols that travelled. He'd put the work in. He's not like A-list. Yeah.
Did 100 films a year. You ever seen a film, Peter, where a man falls in love with a woman in your video operation room? Have you ever seen a film?
I've seen love being expressed in different ways.
I was going to say...
Those kind of films.
I don't think the word love there is relevant in the
cuddles,
truest form.
Special cuddles, yeah.
But cuddle videos.
Going back to special... Well, listen, speaking of special cuddles,
yes.
Bournemouth Team Spirit. Must be fantastic, because the way they keep rallying, and I've often thought down there it would be a nice place to get a special cut. No, it'd be a nice place to play, because it does look like a nice environment. Eddie Howe seems to have the run of the place. He seems to, from what I've seen in terms of interviews with him and read articles about him, he seems to run like quite a nice, tight ship.
Would it nice? Well, not that tight, because they let in loads of goals. would it nice not be nice to see them come out the blocks a little bit more? Would that not be something they should be working on?
It's not what they're good at, is it?
Well,
what they're good at is going behind.
I tell you what, before Walcott got fouled, Pickford's quick delivery from he was under pressure. There was a couple of players in attendance.
It's a great ball.
And he sort of just whips it on the vol straight to Theo's feet. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. And also, I'm not having you saying that the team spirit's not good down there because they keep going behind. Bournemouth are undefeated in the Premier League this season. Have a bit of respect. Yeah.
Three matches, mate.
Stop and they haven't goals lost. In.
A bit of respect for the second biggest team on the South Coast.
Exactly, yeah.
Behind Southampton. It's easy, isn't it?
It was a free hit, wasn't it? It was a free hit. Michael Keane took a nasty one, resulting in a hairline skull fracture. He'll be out for, they say, around a month, but he won't be training for, 3 or 4 weeks, so you'd expect him to be out longer. A bit longer.
I don't want to make light of this, but when someone gets like a hairline fracture in their leg, obviously it means like a very thin fracture.
Yeah.
But if it's on the head, does it actually mean on the hairline? Or does it mean a hairline fracture?
Well, presumably a bald man could get a hairline fracture of the skull.
Well, then I would know. If it's a bald man, I'd know exactly what type of hairline fracture it is. I want to know if this hairline fracture, because he's a haired man, is actually on his hairline.
Oh, good point, I think that must be anywhere on the hair skull bit.
Sure, it's a serious one. I mean, didn't Ryan Mason, he had to retire over it?
He did, yeah.
The fracture of the skull.
Doesn't hairline fracture just mean the actual smot? I just always thought it was like hair-sized, like very
thin.
Yeah. But it's just weird.
You thought right, brother.
Hairline on the hairline.
Indeed.
But I think Ryan Mason's injury was a bit more serious.
It was a
proper fracture of the skull, I think.
Yeah. Everton, though, obviously disappointing they were pegged back, but he's against Bournemouth. You know, that may well happen. This Everton side, I really think they could do something this season because of old Marco Silva. Yeah. And when they went 2-0 up...
Yeah, they'll come seventh.
Yeah. Which would be... You know, you think about it, decent season, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I've never been more sure of any team in a position, apart from Man City winning the league.
What about Watford?
I couldn't tell you where they're going to finish.
I think they're getting a Europa League and have a terrible next season.
Who, Watford?
Yeah, no, Everton.
Everton, okay. Yeah. I think Everton will do okay this season, yeah. I like the coach, I like what he's doing. I thought they were a little bit unlucky yesterday, maybe. But it's their own fault, really, isn't it? It's their own fault.
True enough. Were West Ham unlucky against Arsenal?
I thought they were, Marcus. I thought they were really good first half. I thought they looked really...
You'd have to say it was their really best performance of the season. Which doesn't say an awful lot, admittedly, but...
I think that they've had a lot of players in. I think they'll find their feet eventually. I thought Anderson's fantastic.
He looks lively, doesn't he?
Snodgrass should have put them 2-1
chance.
That was a great chance.
And Arnautović had chances as well.
He's got goals in him.
And especially against the Arsenal defence, who were dreadful at times. Just, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, West Ham certainly seemed to start off brightly. And Arnautović had that chance indeed before he scored, didn't he, as well? And then Anderson was making those sort of driving runs. He looks very good. But, I mean, I know Arsenal are poor defensively at the moment and Emery's obviously doing his nut trying to work that out. But West Ham defensively, my God. I mean, one of the goals, why didn't Fabianski just try and save it? He was trying to appeal for offside. Well, the game was still live, and it didn't went in the back of the net. And he's looking around at the linesman. What, just save it. It wasn't even that far away.
Save
from
it
you.
And ask the question after.
Yeah. Oh, it was offside anyway. Great. I'm pleased to hear that. Yeah. But it doesn't matter because I've saved it. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You're not the assistant referee.
Yeah. I tell you something though. Talking about that Arsenal back line, looking very, very shaky. I looked at their fixtures. They're away to Cardiff next. Warnock will target them.
Socrates is going to have 450 balls right on his head.
I tell you what,
the entire game.
We'll find out if he's a good header of the ball or not. They will, though, Petey. You mentioned Cardiff and their long ball tactics against Arsenal. This is the type of game, isn't it? That Arsenal were a bit soft at the core. They can be got at. All those sort of cliches that, unfortunately, Arsenal haven't quite shaken off just yet. Still good, you know, decent going forward, though. I mean, a little bit sloppy, but they scored 3 goals and won the game. But you would expect old Warnock to be going, right, boys, we know exactly what we're doing here.
I think Cardiff are dreadful. I said that last week. I'll say it this week.
They're playing your beloved Arsenal next. They got
a point at the weekend, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
And they looked fighting.
They looked fighting.
They looked fighting fit. They're just very violent. They're a very violent team. They're going to see a lot of red cards in the Premier League this season, I think.
Yeah. Do West Ham need a bit more violence on the pitch? because you talk about Arsenal looking a little bit soft and shaky, and then West Ham, you know, they had a few chances. Yes, the performance going forward was perhaps a little better because at least they did create chances and so on. Another day, they may well have nicked a draw. They're at home to Wolves next. We'll talk about Wolves in a bit, who look very together, and they look like a proper outfit who could indeed challenge Everton and Leicester City for that mid-table kind of notoriety. But West Ham, if they lose their next game, Pellegrini, he's a good manager, he's won the Premier League. Okay, it was at Man City, but still knows the league. He's going to come under an awful lot of pressure there.
Well, I mean, they've just got a lot of players to integrate, really. And I mean, one of their games was against Liverpool away, which is obviously a tough place time to start. And they've played Arsenal away as well. And the other game was against Bournemouth, and they run out of legs badly. And they don't look defensively very solid. I mean, one player that does look good is Declan Rice, the young defensive player, who's actually just turned down a call up from Ireland because he said he doesn't know who he wants to represent internationally yet. So he's a positive, but obviously he can't do it all himself. Home to Wolves, you might learn a lot more about West Ham, I think, because Wolves look decent against Man City and we'll come on to them. But it was a home fixture for him. they got a chance to put those sort of, I mean, you shouldn't really have to start exercising demons like in your second home game of the season.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
but they've got a lot of players to integrate, and there are some positives to take. I mean, Anderson looks great. It looks like he's settled straight away. And there's one or two others who've done okay. I'll just echo what I said last week, which is that, you know, really, you can't get away with having an engine room of Wilshere and Noble. Yeah. You can't get away with that in the Premier League. Now, I know he brought in Sanchez and played Anderson sort of more centrally against Arsenal to give him a bit more cover. And maybe that's why they look good early on. But maybe they're also not fit enough. And against teams away from home, they're going to get run ragged. I mean, Arsenal had a good amount of possession. So maybe that was something to do with it. You'd expect them to come up to speed and at some point. But and without trying to sound unfair, that chance that Snodgrass had,
oh, yeah,
he would have buried that for Villa last season in the Championship. He just would have buried it and it wouldn't even have been thought about. He has this sort of mental block about the Premier League, I think.
Yeah.
And I was surprised when Pellegrini stuck with him and started playing him. He started doing that in pre-season, of course, and he stuck with him. And maybe he'll come good, but I've got my doubts about him as well. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I think with West Ham, my worry for them would be, you know, they've got a good player in Felipe Anderson. He can't do it all himself. Arnautovic is a good player. And I know he was there last season as well. But you're right. If they don't get the support...
He started the season well, though, hasn't he, this season?
He has. If they don't get the support from the midfield and the defence aren't sorted out, you could imagine Felipe Anderson losing a bit of interest and Arnautovic just getting really wound up, and he's got a bit of a temper on him. And it would concern me. So I sincerely hope, I'm not a West Ham fan, as you know, but I sincerely hope that they do produce a much better performance at home against Wolves.
And two more points, very, very quickly. One is that I think West Ham played three at the back quite a lot last season, and Declan Rice played. Now they switched to four at the back, and Declan Rice doesn't play, even though he looks like one of their better defenders. So that's a bit odd. Secondly, if West Ham carry on like this for a month or two, what's going to happen? Well, we know what's going to happen because it's West Ham. The owners are going to start interfering and stuff's going to start going even more wrong. So the pressure is actually on them already. Because
and they've got Pellegrini. You know, he's got a good manager there.
Exactly. And I think that he would have asked for assurances when he took the job.
Sure.
Because he's a big name and he's done well and he's won the Premier League and he's very experienced. But whether they'll stick to those assurances, we don't know.
Yeah. Will we see a Cockney... I was going to say, use the word gentleman, but I might refrain from doing that. Will we see a Cockney man, perhaps one of the West Ham owners, telling Pellegrini to shut his noise again?
We hope not. Yeah, well, that would be a bit rich coming from them, because I think they're both even older than he is.
I didn't say the other bit. No. I just merely said shut your noise.
And after they go, and after Arsenal go to Cardiff, by the way, they also have a nice day out up in the northeast, don't they, Peter, St James's Park? So
well,
they
have not.
I'll tell you what, though, if they play like they did against Chelsea,
they lost their last season, Luke. So
exactly. No, I'm saying it's a difficult game for them. Chelsea made really hard work of it, didn't they?
Well, Newcastle know how to defend. That's the one thing they know how to do. They stifled things against Chelsea yesterday. And I think it's interesting. I think I'm almost more worried about Arsenal or Unai Emery's work at Arsenal than I am West Ham, to be honest. Because I think West Ham will come good, but Arsenal's defensive problems just.
Like... But the expectation on West Ham is nowhere near as high.
Oh yeah, hugely. Yeah.
Oh, you're looking forward to seeing Warnock though. Off against
Big
them.
Neil. Of course we are. I want to see Neil. Has Neil and his boys had a televised game yet? They haven't, have they?
Yeah, they have.
Newcastle.
Oh, I didn't see it. Was Neil on good form then? Because I like it when he's on the telly a lot.
Yeah, he was actually really pleased with the performance. And we can beat anyone.
We love beating Arsenal.
They didn't beat Huddersfield. And Huddersfield were down to 10 men for
another
half an hour.
Another sending off.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the South Coast. Southampton, they had a man sent off. They were beaten by Leicester City. The smooth voice of Claude Puel. He was beat. What am I trying to say here?
He was beat.
He beat his old team. I got all excited about Claude Puel's voice there. But yes, he beat his old team, of course. The ever so popular Harry Maguire popped up with a fortuitous winner. The way people were talking about it was, there he is.
Yeah.
You know, off the back of the World Cup. So it was bloody lucky.
The first time I saw it, I thought it was straight in. I thought, that's a beauty.
I thought it was straight in.
No, it wasn't. It was deflected.
Oh, it was deflected.
Yeah.
Well, Gary...
He shouldn't be shooting from there. I know it went in.
In the 92nd minute, you were doing your nut.
there was a man on the edge of the box.
Yeah.
And he could have put the ball in the box. He shouldn't be doing that. He got lucky.
Are you fining him for that?
I would have done.
Yeah.
I would fine him for celebrating on that all weather pitch bit round the corners of the particular
shirt That's a yellow.
Well, shirt off or a yellow, and also he jumps on the all weather pitch. That's going to scrape your elbows. That
I tell
you, burn the elbow.
Yeah. I'll tell you whose goal wasn't deflected. Ryan Bloody Bertrand. What a beauty that was.
One of the goals of the weekend.
Fantastic. Going back to Maguire though, I didn't enjoy that when Gary Lineker on Match of the Day quoted Jamie Vardy's Twitter or tweet,
Slabhead,
calling him Slabhead. I'm like,
he famously doesn't like that, does he?
When people sort of you see this, you saw this quite a lot at the World Cup. You'd get journalists sort of talking to Harry Maguire and call him slabhead and all these things that talking about his forehead and things like that.
Please be my mate. And
you,
that, isn't it?
You, well, it's like that. It is like that, but it's kind of like you being over familiar with people and using other people's kind of banter with a with a close friend. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I know you're right. It's like when people introduce themselves to you for the first time using their nickname. I don't like it. Like Pete, when you introduce yourself to someone for the first time, when you call yourself Donaldinho.
Donaldinho, yeah.
I don't think it shows you in a great light.
The original and best Donaldinho. I always introduce myself as Peter.
Yeah, you do.
Even though I'm Pete.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
So that's a bit sort of a nickname, even though it might be Peter. On your birth certificate.
PD. I'm going for PD.
PD, yeah.
P. Diddly Donny. But yes.
Too familiar. I like it.
Southampton, they're playing all right. But they've only got 1 point from three, of course.
Is that the habit you want to be in as a team? What? Playing all right, but not winning any games.
Mark Hughes is already on full beam whinge.
Mark Hughes basically is telegraphing Southampton staying in exactly 17th position all season. We're 17th in August, and we'll bloody well be 17th in May. Thank you very much.
Yeah. That is the kind of consistency that people want at this level of football. Southampton, they've not significantly improved the squad, you would say. They only just about got away with it last season. I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, unless there's a big old January transfer window or something, you know, or unless
they'll find some gems in there.
Tell me where their goals are coming from.
Well, that's the
problem.
Ings looks a bit lively. He's obviously got off the mark, but you're not going to really
hang your hat on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Really,
20 goals a season, well, or 15 maybe for Dan Ings, possibly. I'd love to see him do it.
And their other strikers are Shane Long, who doesn't score enough, and Charlie Austin, who can't stay fit.
Yeah.
And I think all the three of them were used at one point against Leicester. Danny Ings sort of toiled and then was dragged off. Austin came on, possibly for him, but Austin definitely came on.
Oh, and then the Italian striker.
What's his name?
Gabbiadini. He doesn't score that much either. You know, different options up front. It's good to have those options, of course. But yeah, I do worry a little bit for Southampton. I've got to be honest with you.
I think he's unavailable anyway, Gabbiadini. He wasn't in the match they scored, was he? So I think he might be injured. He wasn't available anyway, or he just wasn't picked.
But it was good to see for Leicester, Damari Gray scoring.
Yes.
Is he going to be one of those players who at the age of 28, 29 has still got potential? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
The sort of Sean Wright Phillips, Aaron Lennon.
He's 22 now, though, to be fair. He's got a long way to go.
He does. But I think he's
getting younger. Or older.
Older.
I think an older.
Yeah. His potential getting... I don't know.
He's played off the left, and I quite like him in that position. And he popped up, obviously, and was able to score. I think he's a good, talented young player. But, I mean, you can't really say that about him now. He's only 22. No, is he going to be one of those players who, in 6 years' time, won't have done anything? It's hard to say.
Mind you, though, those players I just mentioned did have Premier League careers for most of their footballing careers. So it's hardly a failure, is it?
Speaking of prospects of Premier League careers, lovely to see Sholo Amiobi in a baby blue suit at the Newcastle Sky Sports studios.
So we've not put the Newcastle game in the running order, but you're doing everything in your power to get it in there.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So just tell us how you felt when you saw Sholo come up.
I thought,
to be fair, Pete talking about Sholo in a baby blue suit, that's very welcome.
We've
that's
got a picture
very on brand.
Sholo Amiobi is the only football player we've got a picture of up in the studio.
It's the one where he's on a bike eating an apple.
Yeah.
There's rumours that he's...
In the Northern Rock Newcastle training kit.
I know, right?
Epic.
We've had some winners, haven't we? Northern Rock, Wonga. All of the sponsors.
So Pete,
they've done brilliantly.
So you line up and you sit down in front of your telly or whatever and watch the opening of the Newcastle Chelsea game, and the first thing you see is Sholo in the studio. You're loving that,
it's
aren't you?
Beautiful, man. It's beautiful.
Was he a good pundit?
He's no. No, but he rumours he might be in line for the Knox County job.
Yeah. Because I honestly thought
his friend Kevin Nolan just got the Spanish archer.
Nolan's gone. I honestly thought you were going to say lining up for the Newcastle job. Yeah. I really did.
Look, at the end of the season, who the fuck knows?
Here's what I imagine Sholo Amiobi's punditry to be like. He sort of toils, doesn't make any good points at all, and then...
Alan Shearer finishes it off.
No, and then they start talking about Sunderland and he makes one really good point.
Three.
All right, then.
Three really good points.
Let's go for a little break, and after which we'll talk about Wolves and Fulham, and Pete will do his email bit.
Out come the Wolves.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Fans are shouting every week, Louis van Gaal's army! Louis van Gaal's army!
Yes, we remember it fondly.
Mm. Pete won't let us forget it.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's time for emails with Peter D.
It is time for emails with me. Hello to
Email Dino.
Craig from Brisbane. He's actually a Sydney FC fan. Ooh, naughty.
You have got loads of emails in your hand right now.
I've got me, it's me running order and the emails at the same time.
Oh, you didn't rip it up this week?
No, just to...
Pete runs yeah. analogue. He doesn't have any sort of digital display.
I just want to kill trees. just a quick note, just a quick question, in fact. Basically, Sydney FC have signed CM De Jong.
Oh, yeah.
The ex-Ajax and Dutch international and ex-Newcastle player as
Newcastle
well.
Newcastle Hall of Fame.
What does Pete think he can expect from CM? Is he damaged beyond repair? Yes, he's fucked. he had a collapsed lung for crying out loud.
Oh, blimey.
Hello to Jambo. All right, boys, what's happening? Now, while I don't support Fort William FC, have been to a couple of games. I can confirm that they've always been a wee bit pesh. I've just seen on Twitter the following tweet, though. Highland League Fort William FC have been fined £150 and docked 9 points for fielding an ineligible player on 3 occasions. Yeah. Their current points total for the season now stands at -3.
There's more about Fort William FC in the section at the end of the show.
Oh.
I've got a bit more info on that.
Ooh, 5 games in the season, -9 points, -46 goal difference already. Westy on the emails also pointed us in that direction. Hello to Michael Mastromarco. Fantastic name, Michael.
Yeah. I like the name Michael too.
Is it Leganés in La Liga? They've got a new mascot, guys.
Yes.
It's a super cucumber.
Oh!
It kind of looks like
They've
pushed a Ninja Turtle through a small sewer covering. It's just gone into a big tube.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
As opposed to a shredder.
Check that out if you can.
Very good.
Hello also to Richard Van Der Peer, back to a bit of Fort William FC as well. I've been listening to the Football Ramble for many years now. I've introduced you to my 3 sons, Ruben 26, Oscar 24 and Arlo 14. I was born and raised in West London. I've always been a QPR fan, as are my eldest and youngest sons. The middle one, glory hunting Oscar, is an Arsenal fan.
Not glory hunting, mate.
No. About 11 years ago, we moved to the West Highlands of Scotland near, yes, you guessed it, Fort William. My youngest has just passed a trial to play for their under 15, so it seems that I'm destined to follow QPR and Fort William FC from now on.
I mean, no disrespect to that man's son, but I mean... Anyone could play for Fort William.
Yeah, so rude.
Reach for the sky, pal.
Yeah.
That is so rude.
It's a feeder club.
And the area is beautiful, and Ramble FC, if they ever fancy a game, not against Fort William, I hasten to add, I'm the man to contact.
Great.
So they basically, it sounds like he wants us to play his children at football.
That's about our level, to be fair.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah.
Oh, I think they'll win.
They'll almost certainly win, yeah.
There we are. Nice one, Pete.
You've got to get in touch with the show. As always, it's showatthefootballramble.com.
Now then, Wolves got a big point against Manchester City. Man City, a little bit off the boil. They can be got at. They've dropped points. Luke, with the point swing that we talked about with Liverpool and Man City, where does this put it?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting question because I know you're being facetious there, but I'm going to answer it seriously. What's got to happen, of course, for Liverpool to get anywhere near Man City is other teams have got to step up and get points off them.
Yeah.
And because it's not realistic to suggest Liverpool can do it all themselves.
Yeah.
So, Wolves have done that. But one of the things I watched that game and I bloody enjoyed it. It was a fantastic game and I thought Wolves deserve a lot of credit. I know their goal was very fortunate, but they toiled and they worked hard and they were very, very compact.
They hustled.
I thought Connor Cody was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
He looks like a real player.
João Moutinho, we know he's got performances in him. Of course, he's done this around for most of his career, but he was brilliant.
But I don't know. One thing that's hard for me to ascertain was whether it was a blueprint for other teams and how to play against Man City, or whether Man City had an off day and Wolves got quite lucky. Because Wolves almost went toe-to-toe with them for some of the game.
But Man City didn't create that many chances. You know what I mean? It wasn't like they were hitting the... Well, they did hit the bar.
If Rui Patricio didn't save that...
Oh, what a save.
What a save. That was from Sterling shot. But, my goodness.
Sure, I was an absolute peach of a save. But, I mean, that's a 25, 30-yard or whatever it was. Hmm. Manchester City, you think about the amount of chances they created against, say, Huddersfield or something. Now, I know Huddersfield were a lot poorer than say, Wolves. And Man City, of course, the better side, on another day, might have won that 3 or 4. But I don't think Wolves were hanging on in the sort of traditional, sort of newly promoted side against the champions.
They're
kind
well
of...
worth their point. But yeah. I wonder. But what I'm saying is, I guess the question then, to frame it a different way, is that an indicator for how other teams can approach Man City? Or is it just the case that Man City didn't play that well?
I think Man City...
Just to finish. If on another day, if they play that game again next Saturday and Wolves play exactly the same way and Man City are at it, they could have smashed them. It's difficult to say.
Yeah, sure. And that's football for it. I think Wolves have a player like João Moutinho. You can keep the ball.
Neves is very good at keeping it as well.
Yeah, so they put the foot on the ball and they can take a bit of pressure off the defence and so on and so forth. I'm not sure that is a blueprint for some teams. I mean, they say take Fulham, who we're just going to come on to. You know, Fulham can knock the ball around as well, but I'd say Fulham are a little bit softer in defence than, say, Wolves are.
Yeah.
So if Fulham were to try and take that approach, which they may well do, I'm not sure they'll get too much joy against Manchester City. Mm. Other sides, they don't have a player like Moutinho or Neves, you know, or something like that. So I'm not sure it does, but it gives other sides belief, certainly. It gives other sides belief that, you know, Man City, anybody can have an off day. And actually, if we do play our own game and we are sort of compact and solid and try and do all the kind of cliched things, then there is a point. I mean, that's the thing we've talked about Arsenal so many times. Arsenal are better than the majority of the sides in the Premier League. But when sides go to the Emirates, they think, we know we can get at them. Mm. We know. And that belief, that hope, just gives you that extra little spring in your step and so on. And a point for Wolves there, I'm not sure how long it'll last, because Man City, they'll win the next 5 or 6 and hammer teams or whatever. But it just gives a little bit more confidence for sides going against Manchester City. And that does count for something in the long run.
Aguero only got 4 points in Fantasy League this week.
Yeah.
And that is a leveller. It's a leveller for everyone.
Twice, I think, didn't he? I thought, just very, very quickly, Cody was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, obviously, come through at Liverpool, really highly rated. Captained England at a lot of youth levels, I think, as well. Obviously went away to get some first team football and has now found himself back in the Premier League. I thought he looked excellent.
Yeah,
he was
really good.
He was fantastic. I think it's going to be a big season for him, actually.
Is he related to Jamie Carragher?
He must be his son. He looks exactly like him. He speaks exactly like him as well.
What about Willy Bolly, Peter?
Yeah. I enjoyed the briefest of glances after he scored that goal to the referee and then just started celebrating. Just went wild.
I mean,
it kind of took the shine off for like a second, and he was like, "Oh, fuck it, I'm doing it."
It was great. Enough in the post-match interview, when whoever it was interviewing him, and it wasn't Jesse Reeves, I don't think, told Guardiola and another Man City player that it was a handball, and they didn't know.
Oh wow!
And so they were like, but they reacted.
Well, they weren't really appeals, were they?
I don't think it was. But yeah, it was quite funny.
Because I can't remember who headed it just before that. because he got a flick on, didn't he? It was like a flick on and then a
flick
on
onto him. Yeah.
And I think that sort of distracted everybody. But it's like, tee hee, naughty.
I tell you what, we also say about, you know, newly promoted sides and so on who will be very happy to stay in the division next season. Now, you'd expect Wolves to have more of an ambition than that.
Yeah.
But they've lost just two of their 28 home games under Nuno Espirito Santo, winning 18 and drawing 8 from them stats provided by Opta, I think it was, or BBC. And, you know, that home form is going to be crucial to Wolves. And they showed it there against Manchester City. They showed it. It's not going to be an easy place to go. And bearing in mind in the Championship, you say, well, they've lost 2 of 28. Well, the Championship, games come thick and fast. And teams take points off each other and so on and so forth. That home form for them is going to be crucial.
And it was also fantastic because it was the first game of the weekend. How many times have we seen that 12:30 kickoff on a Saturday be a dull, drab affair?
Mm. Yeah.
It was a fantastic game because Wolves and Man City both went about it in the right spirit and they should be rewarded for that.
They should.
And they were rewarded with a point each.
Was it fair to say that the 4 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, the TV cameras, they got the wrong game?
They really did. Yeah. And I think they even referenced that halfway through. I knew we'd pick the wrong game.
Yeah. Well, I was at Craven Cottage and it was a lovely old time. Fulham with their first win of the season, well deserved. Mm. Interesting, we mentioned Burnley. Obviously, the Europa League business and so on. Dyche admitted that they are struggling a little with playing Europa League football combined with Premier League. And he said the negativity, presumably he's talking about from the media, the negativity surrounding all this about players having to play Europa League and then Premier League and so on is having a bad effect on his players. And I thought, well, if journalists keep saying that to players, then make sure your voice is heard.
Well, some kind of psychosomatic way of making the players tired by telling them they're tired all the time.
If you lot wouldn't keep going on about our trips to Turkey or Greece or wherever they've been. I think to myself, Sean, get your voice in there. I mean, it's not exactly, it's not a voice that they're not going to hear through the crowd, is it?
No.
I mean, Marcus, I'll defer to you because you're actually at the game, but from what I saw, Burnley looked very tired and if Mitrovic is now adding finishing to his game, then watch out. I said a week or so ago that he's one of the best forwards in the league until he gets to finishing. But he should have had a hat trick.
He could have. He nearly did. He obviously hit the post and then surely got the rebound. I tell you something, Peter. He is the new Brian McBride.
Stop this.
Class.
He was the new Alan Shearer. Fuck all he is.
But did you have that situation? Because you saw the game. So Burnley have got Tarkowski and me at the back, playing centre back. And Tarkowski's been in England squads and they've both got a lot of credit for how well they defended. And they have defended very well.
Yep.
Did they find it difficult to deal with Mitrovic? Because every defender I've seen live play against Mitrovic has found it really difficult.
He's magnificent. He's super. The thing is with his finishing, you know, oddly, I hate to say this for poor old Joe Hart because he's been through the ringer, you know, in relative terms. The first goal, he was a little bit at sea. It was a tricky ball to deal with Kenny, but his positioning, questionable. The second Mitrovic goal, where Mitrovic actually sort of heads it sort of fairly tamely down the
center. I don't know where Hart was going.
Well, exactly. Like, it's clear. He firmly got it, Mitrovic. He didn't have to do a huge leap.
Yeah.
So it was no danger that it was going to go over his head. And Hart sort of anticipated that happening. And Mitrovic,
well, did he though?
No, I don't know what he was doing.
He anticipated it and then applied that anticipation in quite a bizarre way.
Yeah, well, but Mitrovic, it ended up Mitrovic actually fairly tamely heading it in the centre of the goal, which if he'd have stayed where he was, he would have probably not had to move. Mm. So with regards to Mitrovic's finishing, I know what you mean, but you have to take that into account. So yeah, Joe Hart, it's strange when you see a goalkeeper's confidence be shot to pieces and you think, will they ever get it back?
Well, you just sort of think, oh, well, maybe the next club, and then it just never bloody happens.
Well, look what Karius has done. I think he's gone to Turkey, hasn't he? Yeah. He's to rebuild his career.
Much to Mignolet's ire.
Yeah, why is that?
And bemusement, because I think Mignolet, he wants to play, but he thought he was he wanted to move, I think.
Right, okay.
And he was thinking,
and now he can't because Karius has moved.
Well, he said, yeah, because Karius was the number two, and he was thinking, well, hang on, if I'm the number three, surely I get the move.
Class. I spent a sitcom there. A race against time for second and third choice keepers to get sold as soon as possible. Because if they don't, if the other one goes, it's a zero-sum game.
That's right.
If one goes, you're staying, pal.
Yeah. Well, go back to Fulham, you know, Jean-Michel, or Michael Seri, rather.
That's a fantastic goal.
Absolutely beautiful goal to get his
Is he account. Coming up to speed now? Because he looked brilliant when I saw him.
He just looks like he's having a lovely old time.
Yeah.
And this is a guy, what is he, 27 years old? You know, he's not that young. He's not old, but he's not that young. Playing for Fulham, and this is, again, I just reiterate that Barcelona are interested in him. Amazing that he is in West London playing for Fulham. He may only be there for a season if he continues this, but they make a few quid off him.
I've seen him twice in the flesh this season already, and I tell you, if you're an aspiring midfield player, I mean, the way he makes space for himself,
very tidy,
every single time he just takes two or three steps to the left or
very
right,
intelligent
to the
front
or back, and he's always in space. Yeah. So if you're picking up the ball in whatever area of the pitch, pretty much, he's always there as an available option. Mm-hmm. Now, the only criticism I'd make of him is that when I've seen him, he's tired. He tired badly against Palace, but it was the opening game. It's fair enough. I mean, I don't know if he played the whole game against Burnley, but yeah. Once he gets up to speed, my goodness me, he's going to be a fantastic player.
Absolutely right, yeah. And it was good for Schürrle to get off the to get
nice
on
finish
the
as well.
Nice finish. He had a few efforts, but he looked absolutely delighted. And I just wonder for Fulham, there's great unity in that squad. They're playing some good football. It's just can they stop conceding sloppy goals, because Burnley scored a couple, which really Fulham should have dealt with. You know, so they're going to be entertaining. Fulham. I tell you what. There'll always be goals when they play.
They have to win those sort of games at home to Burnley.
They do.
And the litmus test for them is when they come up against better teams.
Yes.
How do they play without the ball?
Absolutely.
And at the moment, you don't know if they're going to be good enough.
Yeah, damn right. Let's stay in West London, shall we? Go down to the Championship. Because fair's fair, Peter Donaldson. At Queen's Park Rangers, they got to win at home to Wigan. Well done, Steve McLaren and his men.
A last-minute signing got the goal as well.
That's right.
Yeah, they picked up Nucky Wells and Tom Ahmed, haven't they?
Ahmed on loan from Brighton, yeah.
Paul Cook was fuming.
And we've got to mention
this. He's fuming
this.
A lot, to be fair.
I was going to say, yeah, nothing new there. We've got to mention this because QPR, was it 7-1 and then, what, 3 or 4-0 at home?
They lost 3-0 at home, I think.
Yeah, they've gone through. And you said, Luke, well, what's the reaction of the team? It's going to show us. Well, there's your reaction.
Yeah.
All right, eventually.
I didn't see the game, so it's very hard for me to know if they're any good. I saw Wigan had quite a lot to play.
They did. Well, they looked like there was a foul in the build-up to the goal. I mean, there was a foul in the build-up to the goal. Let's be quite clear about that.
Yeah.
And then Paul Cook, the Cookie Monster, said, "I pride myself on not giving referees criticism, but when you watch..."
Can I just say, before you go...
if that sentence ends with a but...
He's managed my club, and I can tell you that is not true.
I love it.
You can pride yourself all you want, Paul. Yeah. It's not true.
That's what he prides himself on. Not giving referees criticism.
I pride myself on not eating anything with MSG in it. You've got soy sauce down your front. You beat the Chinese, mate.
But when you look back at that decision, I can't see how he gets it wrong.
There must be some sort of joke in there, because the referee in that game was genuinely called Steve Martin.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
So there has to be some sort of joke around that.
The father jerk.
Father of the...
well, that's got to come out.
It doesn't have to come out because we are disassociating ourselves.
Yeah. That's a shame. I thought that wasn't bad. But there we are. Yes. Shall we? Yeah. So there we are. The Cookie Monster's unhappy, but Steve McLaren is happy.
For now.
I think I think that's fine, isn't it? I quite like Steve McLaren as a chap.
Do you?
But he keeps being really bad at his job.
He's
part of the furniture.
Has he ever managed your club?
I
have very different ideas about what Steve McLaren is.
Pete, I am a huge FC20 fan.
Pete, what are your takeaways from his time at Newcastle United?
He got given a lot more money than any other Newcastle manager in recent history and pissed it all up a wall.
So in many ways, he's responsible for Mike Ashley being so
spendthrift.
So parsimonious thrifty. Now. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that's why certain sections of foreign media are defending Mike Ashley at the moment.
I mean... that is a sewer anyway, but I mean, they just seem to be. They've got this thread at the moment. We don't talk about Newcastle, but they've got this thread at the moment.
We can go for a break at any time you want.
Keys and Gray, and they just get. They've got a thread. And, we can troll everyone on this, and Newcastle fans will get upset.
And the thing
blah,
about
blah,
that,
blah,
Pete, the beautiful thing about that,
everyone
is,
rises to the bit.
They can say whatever they want, but in the grand scheme of things, no one cares.
Yeah,
because they're in some outpost where no one watches their shit anyway. Even though Richard Keys said it's the biggest show in the world, great.
Didn't they put an episode of their show on YouTube last year?
Not sure.
And he had.
I'm rarely tapping Andy Gray into the YouTube search bar.
Keys had very built up shoes.
Surprise me. The Simon Cowell, Tom Cruise type look. By the way, QPR play Birmingham next, and Birmingham are yet to win a game. So that'll be a really interesting game for them. That'll in the league, I mean, I think they've got a cup game in between that, but that's their next league game.
A lot of quality on show.
Let's go to a break, for God's sake, right, before Pete goes Newcastle mad.
Press the button, Peter.
All right.
Because I'm good at what I do in the football world, and you can't pull the wool over my eyes. Not now, Richard.
Yeah. There he is again, Richard.
There he is again, Richard.
Big Sam was piping up last week. You know, Gary Neville criticised, so it's a bit of a difficult one to get your head around. It's almost like a shit football inception, this.
Oh, blimey.
So basically...
Shitception.
Gary, Big Sam was criticising Unai Emery for his tactics. So then Gary Neville criticised Big Sam. Then Big Sam came back about Gary Neville. And did you see what he said?
He said,
I think I've gotten a right to an opinion. I've managed 7 Premier League teams and I've been the manager for like 25 years or something. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like he's got to the point now where he's annoyed about what other people say about him because he's not doing anything.
Yeah.
He's got no work, has he? So he's not doing anything.
But you can manage all the clubs in the world, but someone can disagree with your opinion.
Yeah. I know, yeah, exactly, yeah, of course, exactly. Yeah.
Get him like a defensive coach job or something somewhere. Because he can marshal defence.
Well, because he's already good. Very defensive.
Yeah.
About his opinion. Right, Donny, you could work with him.
True. The preview show, sponsored by Bet365, is going to be out on Thursday, featuring Jim Campbell. I'll say featuring, Jim's back.
Yeah.
On then. How did our best better get on, Luke Moore? I believe they failed.
Sophie, wasn't it? Yeah, she had Arsenal half-time, full-time, but the game was, Sam, was it 1-0 at half-time? 1-0 at half-time. Mm. So it's a no win, also known as a loss.
Yes.
So we're looking for a new better for Thursday's show and show at thefootballramble.com with best bet in the subject line.
Yeah.
And I will pick another best bet with Bet365 on Thursday. We are yet to get off the mark, people.
I know.
So you need to step up. I know the bottleneck, the obvious bottleneck is it's me selecting the bets. But I do select them at a fairly random situation. Yeah, yeah. Just grab one and see, yeah, that looks fine. I'll take that one. I don't put enough thought into it.
Yeah.
So because it can't be me doing it.
No.
So it's on you, listeners.
Yeah.
You're the Birmingham at the moment. Can't pick a point.
Yeah.
3 draws, I think they've got.
We're looking for a QPR kind of, you know, surprise win.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been bad. So
we're not comparing ourselves to Steve McLaren yet.
Not yet, no.
No.
But put best bet in the title of the email, for crying out loud. Now then, let's crack open the WhatsApp group.
I've got a jingle, Marcus.
Oh, lovely. You've got a jingle. Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that?
No, I've not got a jingle. No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake! That's good.
There you go.
Nice.
Little jingle.
Very good, yeah.
He's using the tools he's been given.
I know. Yep.
Quite effectively.
I like the way Pete sometimes does that without telling you it's happening. Yeah.
What else do you do?
You're not even proud of your work, are you, Pete?
No, I'm annoyed I didn't make it, to be honest.
do you do a lot of things to people without telling them it's happening?
No. I'm going to go with no on that
one. All right.
On a bank holiday weekend, you
do.
Right, the WhatsApp group. What's up first? I've got a couple of bits.
You enjoyed Patrick Van Aanholt responding to a tweet that requested him to have a go at the Dele Alli high hand over at the eye thing. By saying, I'm 28 years old next week, I'd rather read the Financial Times or something.
Yeah, I don't really get it.
I think he just panicked and went, I'd rather read the, clever people do.
Googled newspaper. Name of newspapers.
Name of clever person newspapers.
I saw that tweet and I said,
maybe he's getting
guys,
it a Bitcoin, like other footballers have done in the
who's
past.
Who's Hal Robson Kanu?
Yeah, Hal Robson Kanu.
I disappeared down, there's a mad Wikipedia page. I'll let you know how I got to it. So I saw that Patrick Van Aanholt thing of him saying he'd rather read the Financial Times than copy Dele Alli celebration.
Yeah.
Fine. Set it to you guys, and I typed in Patrick Van Aanholt into Wikipedia because I thought to myself, he's one of those players who seems like he's been around for quite a long time, and he has. He's late 20s now. Anyway, I then found out
he's 28 years old next week.
Oh yeah, sure, yeah. He's Leroy Fur's cousin. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
His cousins were Leroy Fur.
Okay,
right? I don't know how that's passed me by. I then clicked on the live link for cousins or whatever on Wikipedia, and it came up with a massive page of footballing families.
Really.
And I found out that Ashley Young's got a brother who plays for Crawley Town that I didn't know about either.
Jordan Bennett.
What?
Did you know that?
I didn't know that at all.
There we go. So if you want to tell us your favourite footballing families, and don't do the Clive Allen thing because that's been done to death, and we know about the Wallaces as well, more obscure ones, do let us know.
Yeah. We know about the Nevilles.
Yeah.
We know about the Loudrops. Okay.
And the Charltons.
But also surrounding the Crystal Palace chat, as well, I did enjoy, as we all did on the WhatsApp group, and a number of people as well, Roy Hodgson's comments about Harry the Hornet before the match. Wilfred Zaha got his traditional treatment in a Premier League game, of course.
But was Roy Hodgson actually asked about this specific event, or did he just come out with it?
Well,
the way he ends the quote is so sinister.
It's fantastic. Well, he remembered that a couple of years ago, Harry the Hornet provoked the crowd by doing a dive, didn't he, when Zaha was there. Now, Zaha... I don't know what's going on with Zaha. Is he a massive knobhead? Or why do people target this guy so much? I know he's a good player and so on, but he gets so much treatment. It seems so unfair on him anyway. So even the mascot was sticking the boot in. And Hodgson actually said, if you're asking me whether Harry the Hornet, who I presume is the mascot...
Well, he is. what other capacity could he possibly be there?
Is he the left back?
Yeah, it's not an actual hornet, really.
Is he the club doctor? Why is he dressed like a big hornet?
I'm confused because I thought hornets were very small and that one seems quite large.
But yes.
Obviously, yes, he's the mascot.
So if you're asking me whether Harry the Hornet, who I presume is the mascot, should dive in that way, I think it's disgraceful.
He also said that the way he ended the quote, because he's fuming.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, if I found out about him doing it again, I'd stop it. What are you going to do, like pull his head off, like expose him?
Spray some anti-wasp spray.
I like angry Hodgson.
Confusing.
I mean, you know that famous moment, it's like a video or a gif or whatever of Roy Hodgson.
Sammy Lee.
No, Roy Hodgson on the bench when the Iceland winner goes in.
Oh, yeah.
And he looks really, it's really sad. Yeah, he looks quite undignified. Would him having a punch-up with a man versus a hornet, would that beat it? Would that be worse?
It'd be up there for me.
Yeah, I think it would be.
I think Hodgson could do a bit of damage to Harry the Hornet. So he was wise to sidestep that one.
According to someone I know who was working at the game at Vicarage Road at the weekend, apparently Harry the Hornet was being a knobhead, but he wasn't directly targeting Zaha.
Is that right?
My friend who goes
But Kapuwe was in some of the other
players. Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. Kapuwe definitely was.
Oh, I feel so sorry for Zaha.
My friend said that, he works at Premier League games all the time. He said, I never really noticed mascots, but I always noticed Harry the Hornet. He's a dickhead. But he wasn't targeting Zaha particularly. Right. Okay. So there we go.
Leave it alone.
There we go. Do you want a Fort William FC update?
Well, I think we should go to Scotland. Because I've got one or two bits, but
you go first, and I'll go Fort William at the end. Yeah.
I want to mention two actually. I want to mention the comeback of the weekend. We talked about Bournemouth, of course. It has to go down to old Raithy Rovers. They were down to 10 men. Another sending off,
it's everywhere.
And 3-1 down with 3 minutes plus injury time to go. They were away to Airdrie, the Millwall of Scotland, as many people have described it to me as north of the border.
Why do they call it that?
Because they're a bit nasty.
Are they?
Yeah, a bit tasty out there.
They're before you, mate.
In Airdrie.
They're on 3G. They're probably in agony. Any slide. Like, oh my God, the agony.
Is it a 3G pitch?
It's a 3G pitch. I was watching the highlights and the sun was sort of bouncing off the plastic. Yeah.
The synthetic.
The plastic grass. I've got all emotional there.
Well, they got
the 3G.
Takes you back, doesn't it?
Their real name is Airdrieonians, right?
Well, it was Airdrieonians. Then the club went out of business and it was Airdrie United, but I think it might be back to Airdrieonians.
Yeah. Okay.
But yes, so they were 3-1 up. Raith Rovers were down to 10 men, two goals down, 3 minutes to go. They won 4-3. Scenes of celebration.
When the player got sent off, the keeper was straight out. He was he had to run half the length of the pitch to fight the aggressor.
Joe Hart kept doing that.
Did he? Right?
Straight out there.
His positioning.
Yeah.
When Mitchell was in the area,
he didn't realise the ref had blown.
One of the score scorers for Raith, I think, was a guy called João Vitória, Portuguese guy. Spent his whole life in the lower reaches of Scotland.
Love that.
That's you don't see that very often.
I'll tell you what, he carries on like that, he'll get his move to Wolves. That's what's happening there. But also, just before we go to Fort William, Carl Lafferty has moved back to Rangers, scored two goals, even though they drew three. Craig Levein was asked how his squad had been affected by Lafferty leaving, because Lafferty scored a lovely goal to win the game against Celtic, and he said, well, the average IQ of the squad has gone up, that's for sure.
No decorum.
Yeah.
See you later.
He's not bitter about it.
Big Craigie.
Chaps, I've got amazing news.
Here we go.
Fantastic news. Fort William FC scored two goals at the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Two. They scored two.
Have they scored this season or they scored one?
I think two games they'd scored one. 11-1 right, was one of the
They scored two. Conceded eight, sadly.
It's getting better.
They lost 8-2. And so getting a couple of goals is a positive.
Did they go two up?
I don't think so.
Imagine that. People would be going, what is tearing up the season tickets? Fuck this. I don't come here for this.
But I want to be a little bit more respectful than that. To Fort William FC. They're having a recruitment drive and a meeting about new recruitment of new volunteers and staff on Sunday 9th of September. They're basically looking for anyone who thinks they can lend expertise or help to improve the club. So if you're in the area, get down there. They're at Fort William FC on Twitter. They're very good on Twitter as well. So do check that out. 8-2, I think, by my calculations, around January time, they might get a draw.
Luke, if you were in the area and you went along to that little gathering, how would you suggest that they should improve things?
I'll tell you something now. Yep. I'll stick my neck out here now and say, if I went there, I reckon I could improve them.
Yeah.
Luke.
I reckon I could improve them. I reckon
what
I could
would you
give
do?
Them. Just, I'd coach them.
What possible advice?
Mind coach.
I'd Luke mind Moore, coach him. Mind yeah. coach. Can somebody do like a parody at Photoshop of Luke Moore, Mindhunter?
Speaking of that, I've also asked everyone who follows us on Twitter, which is obviously at Football Ramble, to start off their Football Manager career with Fort William and send us who can do the best, and the best person, if you win like the Champions League with Fort William or something, Pete's going to send you a personalised video message.
Yeah, but you said that, Ulug, but obviously...
I didn't clear it with you first.
You're not a gamer, you haven't got a fucking clue. So,
I'm a basic
not,
bitch.
It's not actually in the... It's your basic bitch, and they're not actually officially in the game. You've got to download... No, they're not. You've got to download a Steam patch that somebody's made of the lower leagues.
What's a Steam patch between friends?
Yeah.
Everyone's got it.
Good point.
Everyone's got it, mate.
It's a fan-created Steam patch. It's not licensed.
Mate, I was using Steam patches when you were in short trousers.
Yeah, exactly. He used to be addicted to Steam, got the patches on, not anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't have any cravings
exactly.
anymore.
with Fort William, what I would do... Now, I don't know whether this is true or not, but I saw somewhere online that there's a tribe somewhere in Africa. And what they do is if someone has done something a bit naughty or they've some sort of failing, the tribe, they gather around that person and for a considerable amount, in an hour or two, they essentially bombard that person with compliments on what's good about them and try encourage them to a better way.
Just do that at ramble meetings.
That's what I do at Fort William. I'd basically gather all around, get a load of people, and just go, "You can stand straight. You know, you can lace your boots.
Yeah.
You know, your touch is not terrible. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. Try and build them
you
up.
You are a semi-professional.
Yeah.
Well, just a.
I want to see him do well. I want to see him get a win. I desperately want to see him get a win.
I think we all do.
So we're going to keep going with this until they get a win. If that doesn't motivate him, nothing will.
I might have a crack at the Football Manager Challenge as well.
Go for it, Donny.
There you're talking. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble for this week. Thank you very much for listening. We're back on Thursday. Jim Campbell's with us.
Ooh.
My goodness, let's see what
state
he is.
We're looking forward to that.
Yeah,
a change is as good as a rest.
I would say so. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Bye, Marcus.
Goodbye from me too.
Could somebody do a Steam patch with us in it?
Love that.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.